Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
This is Don McGuire, and welcome to another episode of The Fighter's Voice. You know, tonight, our first guest comes from my hometown of Sacramento, California. Well, I don't know if he actually lives in Sacramento, but he trains there. But, you know, when you look at this young man, his record is impeccable. The way he walks in life is tremendous. He's a truly giving soul, and he's a tremendous person in and out of the cage. With that being said, I want to welcome Tyler Diamond. Tyler, how's it going, bro?
Hey, it's going good. Thanks for the kind words.
Well, I've had you on my show a multitude of times. I don't know very many fighters that give back to their family, give back to life as much as you. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and start the show off with that. You know, you look at Tyler Diamond, the person, not the warrior. He's a kind, giving, compassionate person in life. Who would you say, Tyler, was the main mentor in that aspect of you?
You know, definitely my parents. Up until I was about 10 years old, my parents were on drugs, but they were still very, very, very loving throughout my whole life. And I guess they just really instilled a family first type attitude in me, and just, you know, and also to give people second chances, because they certainly needed a second chance. And they were always great parents, even with their addiction that they had early in my childhood. But, you know, they turned things around for the better for them and our family. And, you know, just like I said, the whole family first attitude, and just very loving and, you know, always looking out for one another.
And that's the way it should be. You know, I reference them probably too much, but the story that broke on my show with Jared Gordon from the CFFC when he won the championship there was, he said, everybody wants to bask in my glory, but little do they know, 18 months ago I was a heroin and crack addict in rehab. And, you know, I sit back and I look at that, because the analogy that he put out after that was, you know, not only when you're at the rock bottom in life, you can find your way out. But not only can you find your way out, but you can still live the dreams that you had in your heart and your desires. You know, you kind of bring up your parents had issues with drugs. You know what, bro, who hasn't in life? I mean, let's face it, everybody in a lot of aspects has. But they saw the bigger picture, they saw the bigger dream, and that was their children and the family that they love. And that's a tremendous story that you shared. You know, you look at the gifts that you've given to your brother, you look at everything that you do away from the sport, you could truly be broke down and just a show be done on that. But then you jump over to the fighting world, and you're undefeated, you're on a 10-fight winning streak, and you have an opportunity with The Ultimate Fighter. How does it feel for Tyler Diamond to be at this young of age, this early in the sport, and still be at the pinnacle, well, not at the pinnacle, but still be on the rise in such a devastating fashion?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, I mean, I was just telling a friend today that I don't even think I'm half as good as I'm going to ultimately be. I'm 26, but I've always been a late bloomer. And, man, it's just the beginning for me. Like you said, I just finished up a stint on The Ultimate Fighter. I literally just got home about a week ago. It's great to be home, and I'm just very, very happy with where my life and career is at this point, because I kind of got started as a pro kind of late at the age of 24, because I had to wait till I was done with college and college wrestling. But I knew as soon as I was done, I was going to hit the ground running. That's what I've done, and I've worked extremely hard and to get to the point where I'm at now, and like I said, I'm very satisfied with where I'm at.
Yeah, and you should be, because where you're at is tremendous. You know, I hope you don't mind me referencing Juan Archuleta in comparison to you. You look at Juan Archuleta, he was in the same boat as you. He was a Division I wrestler. You know, he he had to wait until he finished wrestling because of schooling and things of that nature. But then he finally got into the sport, and here he sits at 19-1. And his biggest thought perception in life is waiting and taking it as it comes is the best possible way to survive and exist in this career. Would you say that's a fair analogy for Tyler Diamond?
You know, I would. And a funny comparison, how you compared me and Juan, we actually went to the same junior college. He obviously was there a couple years before me. He's a little bit older. But he went to Sac City Junior College, moved to Purdue University. I went to Sac City Junior College and then went to North Dakota State. Both of us wrestled Division I. He had a little bit more success in wrestling than I did. And he's doing great in MMA, and he's doing big things with Bellator now. But, yeah, I would say that's a very fair and accurate assessment.
It's just kind of coincidental, you know, and the funny thing is Juan was just on my show yesterday, and then we ultimately did a live feed last night for a Q&A, and it was kind of funny, you know, but you look at the guidance that you receive and still receive from all of your teammates, and I know Uriah is a determining factor in a lot of people there. Who would you say, other than Uriah, is the determining factor for Tyler Diamond and Team Alpha Male?
Man, I mean, I would first just have to say the whole team. I mean, the team as a unit is very supportive of one another, and especially me and my journey on the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, I got lots of tips and just a lot of good, positive vibes from everyone. But to name a few individuals, my Mitt guy, who actually is still an MMA fighter, Owen Carr, supports me a ton, helps me day in and day out improve on the things I need to improve on. And also our boxing coach, Joey Rodriguez, does a phenomenal job of mentoring and helping me. And then our jiu-jitsu coach, Chris Holdsworth, he's a little bit more he's not as vocal with me, but he's not really vocal with anyone, but he kind of really leads by example and helps me out in a big way in my jiu-jitsu game, and then as well as my other jiu-jitsu coach, Felipe and Fabio Prado. They've just every single one of them has helped me out tremendously, and that's just a couple names that pop in the top of my head. I mean, really, I could list numerous guys that helped me out in different ways, but that's just a short list of the guys who just come to my head who have helped me out in a big way.
Yeah, most definitely, bro. You just made me feel even older than I already felt. You know, because you talk about Chris Holdsworth, and me and him go back to Tough 17, you know, but I knew him before that at TAM, you know, and it kind of directs me into what you said, and I think that's a key factor in a lot of the fighters at TAM and why they have such success is, you know, when I was there shooting, there was a meeting before class, but then there was also a group meeting after class. And I was getting ready to, I probably told you this story already, but I'm going to tell you again. And I was walking away, and Uriah goes, "Where are you going, bro?" And I said, "Well, that's your guys' stuff, you know?" And he goes, "No, you get over here, you're family." And I sat down through one of them team meetings, and you're right, they're inspirational. Everybody shares the issues that are going on in their life. And I think that's what creates that unique brotherhood and what you guys got going on over there at TAM. Would you say that aspect is defining you more and more each day, that you can go in there and you do have confidence that you can rely on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't been to a ton of other gyms, but we have a lot of visitors all the time. And the one common theme among every single one of them is how special our gym and our team is. And it really is. And it's, you know, Uriah has created an amazing atmosphere where you not only want to succeed, but if you stick to the program, there's no way you can't, you know, I mean, it's just a special place. I wish I could put into words, it's inspiring. The energy is very high. And as long as you show up and you work hard, you're going to do great things and you're going to get better. And really it's just up to you from there, but you couldn't ask for a better, more supportive and, just truly inspiring group of individuals.
Yeah, you know, when I was there, Chad Mendez had me dying all the time. That guy is the gym clown, and in all aspects, he was just. But you know, what you've done in the sport is nothing. I mean, short of what you're going to accomplish. You talk about you got in at a little bit older of an age. When is it going to come time, you know, for Tyler Diamond to do the Max Griffin and draw the line in the sand and say, it's time for me to step away from regional promotions and fight on a bigger scale?
Yeah. I mean, that's been the plan for a long time now. I'm 9-0 as a pro, so it certainly has been time, but I fight at 145-pound weight class, which is right now probably the second, if not the toughest weight class in the UFC. And they've signed quite a bit of guys, some of them who don't have as good of records as me. So when I finally got the opportunity to be on the Ultimate Fighter, I took it because it's a season of only undefeated guys. So it literally had my name written all over it. I would be a fool to not have tried out, and I tried out, made it through everything, and after the tryout, so I was very confident that I'd be on it. Lo and behold, I got the call. I was on it, and I can't give away a ton of detail as far as how I did and all that, but I'm pretty sure that I'm done with the local scene. You know, crazy things can happen. I mean, who knows? But without giving anything away, I'm fairly confident that the local scene is no more.
I feel you there, you know, but we do have to give tremendous homage and tribute to GKO. You know, you look at Northern California, it's inundated with so many tremendous fighters. You know, you look at Benito Lopez, you look at Danny Ramirez, all you guys, I just watch you guys grow up, and now you guys are all these tremendous warriors in life, and it's very humbling. You know, The thing I want to kind of touch on, it's going to step away from the cage for a minute, but it's always inspired me and intrigued me. And you know, how is your brother doing? And, you know, how is life in that aspect?
Oh, man, my brother's doing good. He's still doing the same thing. He's working every day, enjoys shooting his bow, and he's just a freaking comedian, man. And he was actually pumped to have me come back home, so that's pretty cool. And I've just been hanging out with him as much as I can since I've been home. Let me see, I got home on Thursday. So, yeah, we're coming up on almost a week now. And I've been spending quite a bit of time with him. And, yeah, it's been great. He's doing great. And can't complain about anything.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you bought him a car, if I'm correct, right?
I helped out a lot, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is what I kind of wanted to touch on, you know, because I got a brother, you know, and we don't even talk. But that's what I was getting at in the beginning of the show about Tyler Diamond. There's a unique aspect to you. It's almost as if, you know, you have this absolute love for life. And, you know, obviously you walk with the Lord or some aspect of it in your heart and with intent. You know, what does it mean for you to get those special moments to be able to have that time with your brother, your family, and those away from the sport?
You know, there's only one certainty in life, and it's that time always passes, and with each day that passes is one less day you'll ever have, you know? So you got to try and fill it with as much good as you can and as much positive things and as much family time. Family time is super important, and my brother is certainly important to me, so I spend as much time as I can with him, and as well as my mom and my sister. And yeah, the whole truck thing, I don't make a ton of money, but the extra money I do make, I'm willing to put it towards good things. So I helped out a little bit in buying him his first vehicle, which was a Toyota Tacoma. Those things aren't cheap. And I also helped him buy a new bow recently, one of the best bows you can buy. So he's been super pumped about that. You know, I told him, hey, you get 75% of the money and I'll cover the rest, because those things aren't cheap either. So, yeah, like I said, I don't make a ton of money, but I don't mind spending a little bit extra I have on something that makes them happy, you know?
You know, the best way to put it, bro, and you're already a young OG, man. The best way to put it is it's better to be rich in heart than it is in pocket.
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah,
it truly
in that
is.
Way, I am wealthy, you know?
You know, that's what life's about. See, and the sad thing is it took me 51 years to realize, no, I'm joking, it didn't take me 51 years, but, you know, you hit menopause, and it's like you get a reflection of your life once you get over 50, and you realize that what you thought you knew about life, you really didn't know. And you see an aspect of you that's already there, bro, and I commend you for that ability. You know, you got the Ultimate Fighter. You've got a tremendous family. You know, what does Tyler Diamond think about all of it when you put it together? You look over your shoulder and you see the path that you've traveled. How gratifying is it to be where you're at?
You know, I certainly am happy with where I'm at. I certainly would like to be in a better spot financially, but in terms of being, I'm just very fortunate to have the mom, the brother, the sister I have, the girlfriend, her family. I mean, in those aspects, like, life couldn't be any better. Kind of looking back, growing up, you say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this in life, and you know, as you might know, life always has other plans, and things rarely go according to plan. So you just have to do your best to kind of navigate your sails, you know, and adjust. And I think I've adjusted quite well to certain circumstances that have happened in my life, and I've made the best of every situation, and I really can't complain. I mean, life isn't just hard for me. It's hard for everyone. It throws everyone curveballs. Everyone's dealing with something, you know. But I feel like every curveball life has thrown at me, I've done a fairly good job at just kind of rolling with the punches. And I'm very happy with where I'm at. Certainly, I want to get in the UFC as soon as possible and kind of change my life there and really start building a name and start making a lot better money and, you know, kind of moving on there. But with everything else in life, I really can't complain at all.
I hear you there, man. I hear you there. You know, you're on a 10-0 win streak and 9-0 as a pro. The abilities that you ascertain are tremendous. You know, and you've been through a lot of fights. So I'm going to kind of ask you a silly Wikipedia off the top question, because I've always wanted to know this, you know, because there's very few of you up and coming young fighters that have remained undefeated and, you know, are just true warriors or gladiators in my thoughts. But when you look at all the fights you've had under your belt, what one fight truly woke Tyler Diamond up and said, oh shit, I'm in a war? You know, what if you had to pick one, which one would you say got your attention the most?
You know, it wouldn't be any of them that actually count. It would actually be one that I've recently had in the Ultimate Fighter House that will be aired on TV. In all my 9 fights that have counted for, you know, GKO, Taji Palace, I've fought a lot of tough guys, but I don't think I ever lost a single round. In the Ultimate Fighter House, I had one fight that was an absolute war, and I'm super excited for people to see it. Me and my opponent had to freaking dig deep, and I think we both showed a lot of heart, and people are going to be absolutely pumped to watch that fight. So, to answer your question, it was one I recently had in the Ultimate Fighter House, and everyone will be able to watch it probably in late June.
Cool, cool. You know, I want to take you back to your last amateur fight, if you don't mind. It happens to be a person,
yeah,
I know in life. You know, you went to war with JT Donaldson, you know, in the Ultimate Reno Combat. What was that night like for Tyler Diamond? knowing it was going to be his last. Well, I'm not sure if you knew it was going to be your last amateur fight, but let's critique it in that manner. Let's say that thought, I guess. But what did you take away from that fight with JT Donaldson? Because he is a true warrior.
Yeah, you know, it's actually not listed, but I had one more amateur fight in my hometown of Oroville. But the JT Donaldson one was pretty unique because it was my second to last amateur fight, and it was for a show that I fought for numerous times, made my amateur debut. I really enjoyed fighting for that show. And I didn't know much about JT other than I thought he was a tough kid at the time. And it was a tough fight in the aspect I never finished him. And I actually became friends with him because he's such a good guy. I don't think there's any way someone could not like the guy.
Right.
It was a good night, man. You know, my whole family was there and supportive like they always were, and I was just happy to, I think, I got my seventh win as an amateur, and I knew it was one of my last amateur fights, if not my last. It ended up being my second to last, and it was just a good night overall, looking back.
Yeah, you know, the reason I referenced that fight, because you go back to that, that's the era for Northern California that a tremendous crop of fighters truly, you know, went into the pro rankings. And, you know, I had the privilege of shooting JT Donaldson, and it's kind of funny, you'll know, you'll get the joke on it, but, you know, not really a joke, but it's about his humility, and I love how you say nobody can hate him, because you truly can't. I mean, he's the grandma's boy, and, you know, the guy truly lives it, breathes it, and it's admirable, because anybody that loves family that much and is devoted to the mixed martial arts is a key asset in my mind. You know, that's why I brought up that war, because you both are great warriors with humility. You know, you talk about where your family's at now. You talk about your brother. You know, you talk about getting him a new bow. So I want to know, how did hunting season go this year for Tyler Diamond? Let's just jump away from the show for a second.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I love hunting. It's pretty much my passion outside of fighting. I mean, if anything, I probably like hunting a little bit more, to be honest. I love the fact that I can fight and be a independent contractor and kind of maneuver my fights around hunting season. But, man, hunting season in 2017 was pretty rough, to be honest. It could have been a lot worse, but so 2017, the end of duck season, which was in January, was pretty good, not that great. And then spring turkey, it could have went a little bit better, but I ended up getting an awesome bird on, and I shot it on camera. So I'm going to start my YouTube channel. I'm going to upload that pretty soon. Yeah. And then deer season, man, I had terrible luck with my bow. Terrible luck, like a couple mistakes on my part, and it's just a couple of days where or things that didn't line up for me. I definitely had chances, but I never really had that great of a chance. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I spent a week up in the mountains deer hunting and had a couple close calls and couldn't connect. But then I got really lucky with my rifle during rifle season, and I was able to get a buck, so that was good. At least I didn't go empty-handed. And then fall turkey season was the toughest turkey season I've ever had in my life. I probably hunted 15 to 16 days all together in the season. I was really, really picky, and it ended up making the whole season very tough for me because I got so picky about it, and the birds got so spooky or whatever. And then at the very end of 2017 was duck season this year, and it was terrible. The worst duck season we've had in years because the winter never really came. So 2018 has certainly been better because duck season got really, really hot in 2018 right before it ended. So this year's off to a better start, that's for sure.
I love it. You know, there's something that exchanges. I'm the inner workings of the sport, and I love fishing. And, you know, I've been hunting, but fishing is my passion. But then I brought on Tim Sylvia. You know, he runs, what's the name of his TV show? So Hit Squad Outdoors with Tim Sylvia. You know, so, you know, and I watch him do that, and then I've had Mark Montoya on, and he's an avid big game hunter and, you know, different aspects of the sport. And it's like I hear these you warriors come on and you guys talk about, you know, hunting, and it's funny because then you guys like me that we just put a rod in the water and we're content. You know, but we all find peace in life away from, you know, both aspects of living and working. You know, the thing that I love about having you on the show is the integrity that you have is tremendous. The character that you truly has never changed since the first time I've interviewed you is astounding. You know, but if you had to give a message to the people that follow you, the people that appreciate you and back you and support you, what would that message be, Tyler?
Man, a message to everyone that supports me. You know, I would just have to say that I think everyone appreciates the support they get, you know. But a guy like me, I feel appreciates it a little bit more because I was a kid who, you know, if you put it down on paper, probably wasn't supposed to make it or do the things I'm doing. I was probably supposed to be, you know, a blue-collar construction worker working somewhere 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday or whatever. So just for people to support a small-town kid from Oroville, California like me, it just, man, I really take it to heart. Like, the people that are willing to back me and, you know, buy my shirts, go to my fights, or even outside of that, just always want good for me. Just, man, the fact that I appreciate it more than I can put into words, really, you know?
I feel you there, bro. You know, isn't Benito Lopez also from Oroville?
Yes, he is. We went to school together. I was a senior. He was a freshman, and his aunt and my mom are really good friends, and his aunt kind of asked me to take him under my wings while he came up to high school. So first day of school, I ran into him, and I said, hey, you know, your aunt and my mom are friends, and she told me to look out for you. So pretty much what I say goes, and you're going to have to listen to me because I can't let you end up being a little punk kid like your aunt thinks you're going to turn into.
Amen to that. Isn't he still over there with you at TAM right now?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah. See,
he's doing
that was a blessing in disguise. You know, Tyler, I look forward to each and every time I have you on the show, man. You're a tremendous young man in the sport. You know, I would love to have you back on when you're after the airings or whenever you're able to talk a little bit more about, you know, that aspect of the future of Tyler Diamond. You know, you're setting a precedence for people in this sport to look at. You know, you roll into the cage with humility, honor, and integrity. And, you know, I take away from that pride, passion, and perseverance. And that's what I see in you. I want you to keep it up, young man. You are a tremendous attribute to the sport and to life. And tell your brother I said what's up. At this point in time, I'm going to hand the microphone to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, my name's Tyler Diamond, so any of my social media stuff isn't hard to find. And I'd like to give a shout-out to a couple sponsors. Number one would be Avery's Lube and Oil here in Oroville, California. Lana's Egg White, she always takes care of me. It's only a phone call away, and she's an awesome lady. And a couple others would be, I'm having a hard time thinking, DYKYB. And Ica Penn out of Sacramento, my barber, Flaco Ramirez, over at Gentleman's Barbershop in Chico, and that's really about it. I just would like to thank all them for financially helping me out this calendar year, and just want to say thank you to you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, it's an honor and privilege each and every time I have you on, bro. I look forward to the next time. Tyler, you have a tremendous evening. Like I said, tell your brother
Absolutely.
I said what's up, and enjoy your evening, my brother.
Absolutely. You too, man. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Tyler Diamond out of Team Alpha Male. You heard it first here. He's going to be in the Ultimate Fighter. We'll bring you more details when we can. In a second here, we're going to jump to Rome Lindsay, but we're going to take a little commercial timeout, and we come back in 1 minute.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Much love to Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement and Bone Thugs and Family Harmony Tree. My next guest is a buddy of mine. He's a tremendous warrior in life, and I kind of thought it was time I broke out and share them with you. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get Rome Lindsay on the show.
Hello?
Rome Lindsay, the Fighter's Voice. What's cracking, homie?
Hey, what up, big dog?
You know, I told you we'd get you on sooner or later. Finally, we got you on here, man. So, first and foremost, how's life been treating Rome Lindsay?
Man, you know, life is what it is. You know, it could be a bumpy road. It could be, you know, sunny pastures. You know, life is just what it is. It's life. You got to deal with it or get swallowed up by it. So I just deal with things and keep going. You know, injuries, you know, going on, I broke my wrist last year. At the end of last year, and took a fight against Manny Reyes when I wasn't completely healed. You know, it just is what it is. You know, I've always been that tough guy, so I just roll with the punches and keep going.
I just roll with the punches and keep going. You know, Rome, you've never been on my show before, so get ready for a different aspect altogether, man. We go everywhere on my show, and I think that's what everybody loves about it. You know, you go back in life to when Rome Lindsay was a young man. You know, what was life like for you, and what set the precedence for that pathway to you to the sport?
Man, see, a lot of people don't ever ask me those kind of questions, so I'm glad you did. Let me go ahead and open up for the first time for everybody. I was, you know, one of those quiet kids. I got picked on a lot in school. I was in and out of foster homes. I got taken away from my parents. MMA and martial arts for me was an outlet away from my actual life. You know, it helped evolve me into the man I am today. Because without martial arts, I'd probably be 6 foot deep or in somebody's funky-ass gang doing something stupid.
Yeah, you know, I feel you there. When you know, you look at life and a lot of objects are thrown at us. And, you know, like I just told Tyler Diamond out of town, you know, you look at life as pride, passion, and perseverance. Who was the mentor or the mentors behind the pride, passion, and perseverance in Rome Lindsay to see beyond the life he was dealt?
Oh, man. The first lady I'm going to go ahead and say is Janice Rogers, which is my foster mom. You know, she allowed me to come home from a really rough group home, you know, and I was in there, you know, doing what I'm doing now, but not getting paid for it, fighting every day, you know, being a knucklehead. Nobody cared about me. My parents didn't come get me, so I thought nobody fucking cared, you know. So I just kind of took that in and became real, 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 real hard, you know, like I don't express emotions well because of that. You know, it kind of, you know, changed who I was. But with Janice, she kind of, you know, saw, you know, a glimpse of greatness in me. She said, you can do whatever you want to do. It's your choice to be, you know, an asshole, or you can go and walk the hard line, which is do the right thing. That's the hardest route. So you want the easy route, you can go get locked up. That's the easy route.
Most definitely. You know, your story kind of resonates with me as the story with Justine Kish. You know, she was born in Russia, and she was given away at birth. And she always, on my show, she always referred to her parents as her adoptive parents. And, you know, the last show, I kind of, because you can hear how much she loves them. And I told her, I said, you know, when you look at it in that aspect, Justine, I said, it doesn't take blood to make them your parents. I said, it takes people who truly believe in you, people who truly want to see the success in you and see you, you know, move on in life and be happy. I said, those people are truly your parents. So when I hear you talk about, you know, this lady, you can hear that she instilled in Rome Lindsay what he needed as a young man to move forward. Now you jump ahead in life and you find yourself in the sport that we all love. What was the perseverance and passion that kept Rome Lindsay in a sport? Because you've had an up and down career, but you've always remained perseverant and you've always remained humble, and you still have great intent and you're still a true warrior in the sport.
Yeah, the thing that kept me going is that, man, I wanted to prove to everybody that I was worth the squeeze, that I was worth coming to get. You know, I was worth giving the opportunity to have that chance. You give me a chance, I'm going to shine as bright as I can, because I don't know anything else but to try hard, even in dark situations. I don't know anything else. I don't know if I can give up. I don't know that stuff. I've only been knocked out once in my career. I don't know that stuff. You know, I don't know that. There's no give or break in me, and I won't ever have a give and break in me. You know, I'm resilient as they come. You know, and I don't care if it's against a 10-0 opponent. I don't care who the person is. I'll fight you. I'm not afraid of you. What can this person throw at me? What life hasn't already thrown and took away from me in life? Nothing.
Amen. I feel you. You know, see, because I was there, bro. I told a story on my show. My listeners are probably going to go, not again. But you know what? It's relevant here, so deal with it. It's my show. You know, when I lost my leg and I sat there and was contemplating suicide, and I just, you know, it still kind of chokes me up because I look back at that day and I always have that thought in my head. What if I did? You know, and I look at where I got up, got motivated, and got inspired from that point in life on. And I saw some of my greatest work come after my greatest atrocity. I saw some of the most passion after, you know, the greatest loss in my life. So I sit back and I realize, you know, what I was selfish. You know, I was only thinking of myself. And from that point on in my life, I decided to give back to those who gave to me. And it's like me and Tyler Diamond talked about, it's truly far better to be rich in heart than it is rich in pocket. And that's where this show truly was, you know, born from, I guess you could say, because I wanted to give back to the sport that put a roof over my head, put food in my stomach, and that took care of my family. And from that, I wanted to give all fighters a voice because I felt it was justified. I don't feel that there's enough real people in this world that truly want to give back to the fighters. There's 99,000 other shows out there that want to, I mean, you'll agree with me. You go on them. Rome, how was your last weight cut? Rome, what did you do wrong in your last fight? Rome, you know, what are you going to do differently? I mean, that isn't real life, man. And I look at who you fought in your career. You haven't fought a slouch one. You know, I kind of want to take you back to a fight that was really a big moment in your life. And that was at Bellator 150 as I was there. It was part of my life. I saw you fight when you fought Navarro. What did that night mean for Rome Lindsay to step on the Bellator cage and have that type of moment in his career?
Man, that was an amazing night and an amazing feeling. I had, you know, my mentor and well as my one of my best friends, Shannon Woodward, in my corner. Zach Buescher was there. And we remember, I remember talking in the back, and everybody's like, you know, Matt Foster's there. Matt Foster's like, Rome, be bigger than the moment, man. Be bigger than the moment. Because you're bigger than this moment. This is not going to be the first or the last time you fight here. Be bigger than the moment. I remember him saying that. And that just kept playing over and over in my head. You know, and all the work that I put in, you know, all the people that said, oh, you won't make it anywhere. All the teachers that said, you're too dumb to even graduate high school. You know, all those people. I got to prove them wrong with one left hand. I proved them all wrong. Every doubter said I couldn't make it, the big jump. You know, my biggest thing has always been, everybody knows, my biggest weakness has always been myself. I beat myself 9 times out of 10. So we start off standing. I don't do bad there at all. So I beat myself by not working hard enough in certain areas, which I've changed a lot up here. And I can't wait. That moment in my life, it still resounds in my ear. I can go to get jobs. I'm getting jobs down here in Florida, work at a ink factory. And the guy's like, he's like, I know your face from somewhere. He's like, comes back the next day. He's like, man, I knew you from something. Is this you? I'm like, yeah, that's me, man. That's me fighting Marcio Navarro. Yeah, that's me. And I never thought I'd be, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away from Kansas. And in Florida, somebody knows who I am. You know, that made me feel good. But then it made me feel like, can I do more? What's next? I want to do more. I'm going for gold now. I'm doing whatever I can that I was slacked off on. So I run now. I'm eating differently. I'm changing every aspect of my game that I can to help myself become a better person and to give back to all the people who put the faith in me, you know, supplements in my mouth, you know, like Will Spencer, all these guys that have all this faith and put all this training in me. It's time for me to give those guys what they deserve. And as well as my father for birthing me, my dad's on his deathbed. I got to give him gold. So this, everything that I'm doing right now, it's not for me. It's for somebody else. When I was selfish in everything, like fighting Marcio Navarro, I was a different fighter when I fought Marcio than when I fought Josh and lost on Bellator. I became selfish. I became involved in what happened, what the sport can turn real fast, so I could turn around and change for you. I became selfish. I slacked off because I thought I just had it.
Yeah. Would you say that, you know, now that Rome Lindsay has had the time to reflect and look back, that we could now consider it the rise or the rebirth of Rome Lindsay the Warrior?
Yeah, the rebirth is here, man. I mean, like, I realize that I have a lot of tools, a lot of tools. I have all the athletic gifts possible for that you would want in a fighter. You know, speed, power, you know, quickness, quick reaction speed. I can even grapple, but I don't like to even use it because I feel like that's not a – I like to just stand and bang. If I wanted to do anything else, I think I'd be okay with boxing or kickboxing, but I chose MMA. So I got on that horse to begin with, so I'm going to stick with this horse. And I can't let my dad slip out of this world without seeing me be a world champion at some point in time. So I'm going to push hard. I'm in an awesome tournament right now, and I cannot wait to perform.
Yeah, that's what we was going to jump to next, Tommy. Like, you know, like I told you, there's always a method to my madness, you know, and now we instilled the beginning, the hope, and the passion. Now what's in the spirit and the pride of Rome Lindsay going into this tournament?
I'm going in this tournament to become the king of Sparta.
Straight
up. I believe I have all the skills possible to become and take that throne. I see all the guys in the tournament. I train with some of them. Some of them are related to me. I don't like them, to be honest. And I'm coming for you. and I'm coming for whoever stands in front of me. I'm not going to let off you. This is a tournament that's really fit for the type of fighter that I am. You got a boxing round. You got kickboxing. Then finally we go to MMA. My two strongest sets first.
Yeah.
Bad day for somebody.
He's a bad day for somebody. You know, I can't wait to see you compete in this. But, you know, it's like I feel like I could be a little, you know, let my guard down a little bit and ask you a little deeper question because we do know each other in life. But the thing is, would you say that up until this point that Rome Lindsay truly has been his toughest opponent?
I would definitely say that. I mean, I let, you know, some things that you hear and say and see in media and multimedia and stuff like that. Like after I knocked out Marcel Navarro, I was looking at some of the comments, you know, people out in the world that's looking on the outside looking into MMA saying, oh, he can't swing, that kid can't box, he got lucky with that punch. He wasn't looking for that. Man, I mean, if you get kicked on the right side of your body, that means that his left side is open. I mean, I don't know what people can say. You know, it's how bad that poison can get to you and start resonating inside your body and start slowly poisoning your thoughts, your aspects, your dreams, clouding vision.
You know, I'm glad we finally had this opportunity to get you on the show. You know, it's been something that I've been meaning to do for a while. It's just everything gets crazy in my life, as you know. Not only do I run the show, but I also shoot, and I'm a glorious active gym photographer, and I shoot tons of other things. But, you know, we're stepping things up in the programming to make things better. But I wanted you on because, and I felt it was a story that I needed to tell, you know, because I see how you are through your postings. I see how our conversations go. And I see the loyalty and respect that Rome Lindsay has in his walk in life. You know, what is the greatest retrospect or look back moment that Rome Lindsay can say now? You know, I look back and I'm better than that. I look back and I will never be in that place again or walk that path again.
Man, you know, man, I used to get in so much trouble before, you know, stepping into, you know, MMA. Oh, man, fighting it in the streets, disrespectful, just being a punk-ass motherfucker, you know, to be honest. And I remember that guy, and I met Shannon Woodward and literally got to talk to him and see him. He scouted me for a few years before I actually really got to come up to his gym. And I came in, a hothead, you know, straight off the bat. And hotheads and accurate punchers, you know, that don't go good. You can't be a hothead and come into a place like that. So those are kind of like my humbling experiences. And then I've seen all the people that, like, all the little kids that send me videos or pictures of me with them when I was an amateur fighter. And I'm like, wow, man, I touched that kid's life. And that kid, now that kid works out every day. He's just as big as I am now. And he's fighting in MMA. Oh, now this dude's fought in MMA and became a champion. And I got to help train, be in his view and help him train him and help him out, you know. And I never saw myself as a trainer or somebody that can motivate other people. And I got in Midwest Combat Academy and I became a motivator. I became a recruiter. I became a friend. I became a better person. And it's all between this world of hitting people in the face that everybody sees as this barbaric sport.
Yeah. You know, and it's not. That's the thing I love about my show is it shows people that it's truly not. Like last night I had Juan Archuleta on. You know, the gentleman's sitting at 19-1, and, you know, people have made comments that, you know, that they're just ferocious beasts. They're, you know, there's nothing more to them. But then when you crack back and you open you guys up, you're truly no different than we are. You truly have the same life that we do. It's just you choose to live it in a different aspect. And you can't condemn somebody for that. You know, it's society is, it's getting to be pathetic anymore, if you ask me. I mean, the way it looks at aspects, the best way to use it is like I did with Mike D'Angelo, who I had on my show the other day. You know, I said, people look at you as a thug, you know, a gang member because you're with Cash Money and Birdman. I said, but they're only looking at the cover of the book. I said, if they were only to crack open the book and just read the first page or the first chapter, then they would truly understand the man that you are. And I feel that's the same with Rome Lindsay. Would you say that's a fair analogy?
I would say that's a very fair analogy because, you know, up until, you know, the Bellator 150 and after that point, you know, I didn't even know how to really market myself. I wouldn't even say, you know, I'll go to fights and stuff like that. I wouldn't say too much at all to nobody, you know, even the fans. You know, I'd say nothing to nobody. I would go in there and I'd get in this corner and I'd just be quiet and I start meditating to myself of what I'm going to do to my opponent. Okay. Then after a while, I kind of got, you know, more talking to people, more involved in, you know, what's going on around me, you know, even if a fight's going on, saying something on the outside, you know. But people would not talk to me. They used to think I'm this mean, crazy-ass guy. I am kind of crazy, you know, and I can be mean, you know. And half of the time when I'm being mean like that, and I'm like, get the fuck out of my face, you ready to go? Stop being scared. Fight me. When I'm doing that stuff, that's wrong. That's a cliche. Yeah, I'm a go-getter all day long. I love the fight. I love the bang. I'm not afraid of that shit. I love it. I love competition. Love it. But just because I'm this dude that has to get people's attention to put asses in seats, doesn't mean that's who I am outside the cage. Everybody gets that confused and conflicted. No, I'm not Conor McGregor. I'm not a real fucking asshole. You know, like a real, real asshole. You know, don't care.
Oh, that's Colby Covington, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Moreover. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. That was. That.
I'm sorry, bro.
That was good. I can't say anything about it.
You know, it's funny because you know me, man. You know I'm transparent in life. What I'll say on my show, I'll say in life, I'll say on my page. I don't care, you know, because unless you pay my bills or you feed me or take care of everything that's in my life, you're irrelevant. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm just being real. It's the truth. You know, I get all these people that hate me, man, and I get all these people that want to disrespect me. And
ditto.
Man, and people say, oh, well, you're doing right. You know, that's just part of doing right. But, bro, after 51 years of being alive and 21 years of hearing it, the shit get old, dog.
You know, real quick.
Yeah. It's like,
that's
man,
why I'm quick to say, just get in the fucking cage then. You want to talk all that yik-yak, you want to get on my page and yik-yak, yik-yak, I'll fight you broken or not. I don't give a fuck. And everybody
right.
knows that. That's
right.
Why everybody hits me up short notice because they know I'll show up. I'll make weight because I don't miss weight, no matter if it was 145 or 155. I can make those weights. That don't matter to me. Oh, I can fight at 172 or 165 or 185. I walk around 235. I don't care. I can make weight. I'm not a slouch.
No, and you don't fight slouches either. That's why, you know, I really wish – you know, someone like, you know, Bellator or the UFC would kind of just reach out to you, man, you know, again, and have you on that platform because I think that's where you truly need to be. I mean, I think now that Rome Lindsay has truly discovered, you know, who he is and where he needs to be at this point in time in life, I think that opportunity needs to be there again. You know, so Rich, Scott, Ian, you know, my brothers, you know, hook Rome up, man. Let's make this happen. You know, I'd really like to see you get that gold for your father, my brother. You know, because, you know, I told this story the other day, and I've told it a couple times. You know, my mother didn't tell me she loved me until I was 30 years old, and there's a long story behind it, and I'm not going to get into it. But I made the best of it from that point on. You know, I flew out there. I flew her out here. We talked every day until she died in my arms. You know, people don't know what it is to have to go through such tremendous dismay in life. And Roman Lindsay has walked that walk. And it's defined who you are as a man. It's defined who you are as a warrior. So when you look at it, and I hear you earlier, you talk about, you could hear the pride in your voice, bro, and from your heart, you know, it's being a mentor, seeing that those kids come back and represent and respect you. You know, bro, what you're doing is you're creating a legacy, not just for your family, not just for you, but for anybody that believes in you. And that right there has to mean something in the heart of Rome Lindsay.
It does. It means a lot to me, man. I mean, like, sometimes I just can't, like, I'm a very emotional man, dude, and I hold a lot of stuff in because, you know, as my father, you know, he's born in 1944. You're not supposed to show a lot of emotions, you know, back in those times. It showed weakness, you know, to show all those different emotions that a man can have. So I was raised up a lot of different, like I tell people, I kind of lived the life of a 73-year-old man, you know, vicariously through my father, you know. But all the things that I've put in, you know, I've helped people out, you know, and got them into the gyms that they need to be in and try to help them figure out their fighting style and stuff like that. That stuff feels good, man. And there ain't nothing like seeing somebody else succeed. There's nothing like seeing that. And knowing that you had just, even if it's just a speck of a little bit of information that you put in them that instilled them to go and do something great with themselves and then believe in themselves and keep that going. Oh, man. You already know, Don. You know what that makes me feel? That almost brings tears to my eyes. Think about that. It makes me feel warm. You know, and I get most people see me as this one-dimensional guy. Oh, he's just angry, and he's just in there just to fuck somebody up to hurt people. No, I don't like to get in there and actually hurt somebody. Like, I felt bad when I broke Marshall's nose. I felt horrible. I was sitting there praying with the man afterwards, you know. That's because kind of guy I am. You know, I'm not the kind of – I'm one of those kind of guys, once we get this fight over with and done with, you know, all that build-up stuff, that goes away. It's just me and that other fighter and this last thing that remains in that cage after that bell's rung and whoever wins or whoever loses, it's just this respect thing that stands there.
Yeah. It's a brotherhood, man. A lot of people don't understand that when you walk into war with somebody, there truly is going to be, you know, some sort of hype. There's going to be some sort of, it builds up because you're getting ready to punch each other in the face. But after the fight is said and done, you know, it truly is nothing left but respect. And I take that respect, and I saw it in a whole new light the other night in Bellator when Juan Archuleta fought William Joplin.
Oh, you know, man. Yes.
That was a divine intervention, man. I think that will go down as probably one of the most sportsmanlike, most content-filled war I've ever seen between two brothers. A lot of people don't realize that they're friends in life. So that, you know, that makes it hard on me because I'm like a dad to these guys, bro. You already know this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it kills me. But, you know, Rome, we're reaching the top of the hour. If you had to make a statement, bro, to all the people that got you where you're at, the people that believed in you, and the people that are still, you know, on the side of Rome Lindsay, not behind you, but on the side of you, that are helping you get to where you need to be in life. If you had to make a statement to those people, what would that statement be, my brother?
I would like to say thank you to all those people who stand beside me, no matter the wins, the losses, the hard times, the good times. I'd like to say thank you for being loyal. Being loyal makes you family. Blood just makes you related. So I want to say thank you for standing there with me and making me a better person than I am today, a better fighter, because I have all you guys pushing me. And those times when I feel like I'm going to go out and I push harder, it's all because of you guys. When I put those extra reps in, those extra miles in daily, it's all because you guys believe in me. So I like to say thank you, and I'll give it all back to you, SCL, the King of Sparta.
Most definitely, my brother. There's your quote of the day, too. It's loyalty that makes family, not blood. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, Rome, I'm truly honored you came on the show this evening. It truly has been a long time coming. I wish you the best of luck in Sparta Combat League, and I truly believe that you will get what is yours. And, you know, I'm proud of you, man. You've made leaps and bounds, not just in the cage, but in life. With that being said, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you want to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Man, I just want to say thank you for Sparta Combat League giving me the opportunity to get off my ass and prove myself as a warrior that I can be. They're doing big things, so I want to say shout out to them. Shout out to Midwest Combat Academy, as well as Great East MMA, for standing beside me and being some of the best coaches that I've ever had in my life. And I want to give a shout out to Big Don. He's fighting a good fight for all of us. I want to say thank you for your services and the things that you go through is for putting up the fight for us. I want to say thank you, and thank you for giving the fighters a voice. I want to say thank you to my girlfriend and everybody in my life that's been there for me. Hey, this fight's for y'all. And I want to say a big shout out to Charles Lindsay, which is my father, dad. I got you. I'm out. Thank you, Don, for having me on.
God bless you, brother. I love you, man. Stay cool.
Love you, too.
Keep being you, man. God bless you.
Bye. God bless.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a kind of choked me up there at the end because I know how much he cares for her father. I know him away from the sport and, you know, kind of like one of my kids. You know, truly a tremendous gentleman and warrior in life. Our next guest, man, he's kind of creeping his way up the circuits. He's kind of a scary dude in the cage. And he's actually one of my favorites to have on the show. You know, if you were expected Jared Gordon had an emergency, had to catch a flight and wasn't able to make the show tonight. He will be on next week. Pretty sure he will be. But my next guest jumped in as a trooper, and I admire his ability. I admire what he brings to the sport. And we're going to give Mr. Hyde a call.
Hello?
Alex, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. Welcome to the program.
How's it going, Don?
It's popping, my brother. It's popping. I love it, Mr. Hyde, you know, but Mr. Hyde's been pulling up some crazy things lately. You've been dropping a lot of fights. You've been making a little havoc in the cage. So when you look at it in that retrospect, how's things feeling in the life of Alex McGowan?
Oh, it's pretty busy, man, you know. Constantly going from fight to fight, staying busy with that, and then working full-time from the military. So there's never really a break, but that's what I like about it, you know. It's one of the things I enjoy about actually living this kind of lifestyle is you don't get to sit back and relax, but it makes you appreciate all the little things in life when you do get to have that chance to relax.
Most definitely. First and foremost, I apologize to you. I want to commend you for your tribute to the service, protecting our country. It truly is an honorable aspect of who you are. But now I kind of want to jump into, bro, you just fought. You just came off a guillotine win 2 weeks ago. And now you're set to fight again in victory. What does that mean in the path of Alex McGowan?
Hey, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, some of my favorite fighters out there, like Donald Cowboy Cerrone, you know, he says it best. If he's healthy, he wants to fight. You know, I'm only young once. If I'm healthy, I want to fight.
I hear you there. What does it mean to you? Because you recently were just signed to a multi-fight deal with Victory Fighting Championships under, you know, a tremendous promotion. You know, that's got to be a great feat from a boy coming down south.
Yeah, it means a great deal to me. You know, it definitely makes me appreciate and feel humble about all the hard work I've been putting in and getting notice from an organization like Victory Fighting Championships itself. Definitely demonstrates their faith in my potential as a fighter itself. So it's definitely a very humbling experience and something that I definitely don't take for granted.
And that's a tremendous attribute about you. You know, one thing that I got a little bit of information that kind of, I hope you don't mind me kind of dropping it on the air on you. You know, you're talking about moving down to 135. You know, do you feel dropping down to 135 is going to be a tremendous attribute to Alex McGowan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that me always competing at 145, I never really walked around too much heavier than 145 itself. I was blessed with being able to compete in that weight class, but I also got to enjoy the lifestyle of going out there kind of eating what I wanted to when I wanted to. But the decision going down to 135, it helped me really focus whether if I really want to continue in this sport and make something of it, you know. It's allowed me to change up my lifestyle where I'm eating clean all the time rather than going out enjoying burgers and pizzas and such. In eating clean, it's helped me just feel better overall naturally with my body, just having more energy since I'm getting the right kind of foods into myself. And I feel like it's helping me perform better in the gym too.
Yeah. You know, you go back, like I said, just 2 weeks, and you know, you finish a fight via guillotine. You know, probably one of the truest performances I've seen you from you to date. Would you say that? Would you say 90%, 95% of Alex McGowan was shown in that fight? Because I don't feel that the crowd got to see the full potential of your capabilities.
No, they definitely did not get to see the full potential. It's one of those fights. This is where it really excites me about the next guy that I'm fighting. Last guy who I fought, we game planned for him pretty well. We knew that he was going to come out strong and throw some heavy strikes, and we got to shut down his game immediately and then got him shooting in for the takedowns, and that's my bread and butter. If you want to go down on the ground with me, it's just a matter of time before I find a submission from any angle and any point in time. So they kind of got to see a little bit of a potential with that aspect, but they truly didn't get to see what I'm made of and what exactly how I perform in the gym, you know? With this next guy that's coming up, he's very experienced, and it's one of those things that with his experience, he's going to know how to get out of bad positions. So I'm very eager to be able to capitalize and see if I am able to capitalize on any of the bad positions that I know I can very well put him in. And I really think that the crowd's going to be able to see even more of my potential of fighting an experienced fighter that I'm about to go against.
Most definitely. You know, I can't help, and I hope you don't mind me asking this because you kind of threw it out there. You know, you expressed a certain sentiment that if this was what you really wanted to continue to do in life, what helped Alex McGowan decide to stay in the sport and persevere over whatever thoughts he had prior?
It kind of came down to just a lifestyle change of, I feel like I kind of got over wrapped in whenever when I was fighting here at the Kansas Star Casino, being able to be around all my friends and family and fight in front of them, kind of get caught up in the spotlight around here that I wasn't really focused, or I don't feel like I was as focused in the gym as I could have been. So with that being said, talking over with my coaches and management, especially with just my body style itself, that we felt like making the drop was a good move for me, then it allowed me to change up that lifestyle from kind of going out with some friends, having some drinks, eating crappy food. And I had an epiphany one day just kind of training. It kind of helped me with some of my old training partners at Valor Martial Arts to kind of find that love again for training, because when you're fighting all the time, you can get so caught up with training that it feels like a job. You kind of like, man, I don't want to go to the gym today, but you kind of have to. So you feel like it's an obligation rather than something that you love to do. So I got that fire re-sparked back in me where I love every second I'm in the gym now. Like, even whenever I'm cutting weight, there's a smile on my face now. Beforehand, I was always kind of hating, kind of like looking like pissed off, hating life and such. But now I'm smiling the whole time. I enjoy every aspect of it. So once when they got that fire ignited, I knew I needed to make the lifestyle change and make the drop down.
Yeah, I think it'd be tremendous for you at 135. I just see things going so much more your way. You know, you've been on my show before. You know, I kind of take different aspects, different roads. But, you know, there was something that caught my attention, and I kind of wanted to get your thought on it because I know what type of individual you are. I know what type of warrior you are. So, you know, I kind of want, and I hope you don't mind, I kind of want to take you to the I don't even know how to say it, Cochran fight. You know, what you got shown a lesson, basically, to be quite honest. You know, what was your greatest takeaway from that fight that allowed you to come back and have such a tremendous outing? What did your training camp, the people around you, or just yourself, what did you realize you needed to make a difference in, son?
Not let the pressure get to me. You know, I felt like I had a lot of pressure on myself going into that fight because I had so many people that came down there to watch that. And coming up short and JR being the better man that night, and seeing the look of those that support me, seeing the look in their eyes when I got defeated, it was something that I don't want to see that look again. You know, in this sport, it's all about proving your supporters right and your doubters wrong. And it's with how much support that they gave to me, I owe them to give it my full attention, you know. With how much support I get on the military side through my friends and family, I owe them to give everything that I got while I'm doing this. That was the biggest takeaway that I got from it. Just don't let the pressure get to me and enjoy it because it don't last forever.
No, it doesn't. You know, you kind of mentioned, you know, the people that are around you. What have, you know, as far as your management company, which I believe is TKO Sports Management, I could be wrong, but under the guidance of Reese and the others that are there, you know, I've heard time and time again, it's the correlation of family that instills the values in this team. Would you say that's a fair assessment and what keeps you with them?
Absolutely. I know Reese has my best interest at heart. I've told him multiple times that he's there for a reason. You know, if I didn't have faith in him and guiding my career in the right direction, I definitely would not have stayed with him or signed with him in the first place. So he's definitely family to me in that aspect of I know he's got my best intentions at heart. And it's not just myself that I can speak that for. All my other teammates that I train with, especially one of my big brothers at the gym, Chris Harris, Reese and I talk about Chris all the time. And knowing with the conversations that Reese and I have about Chris, it shows how much he cares about his fighters. He's not in this just to make a quick buck off the fighters. He's in there to be able to help us reach our potential and guide us in the right direction to be able to get up to those levels.
Yeah. You know, I remember the first time I had Chris Harris on my show, the guy. You couldn't get two words out of him. And, you know, Rickles was giving me crap, saying, good luck, bro. He probably ain't going to get an interview. But I ended up getting him to speak anyway, and now he comes on the show, and you know, he's a tremendous guest, but, you know, when you all look at the whole picture, you know, and Reese is going to kill me for saying this, but how could you go wrong when you got a garden gnome as your management, man? You just can't. You know, Reese is my little garden gnome buddy, bro. He just, I give him crap about it all the time. You know, he's a tremendous attribute in my life, you know, and I could see what you're seeing about him because I think everybody sees that in Reese. You know, recently I just had one of my brothers sign with you guys over there, and that being Sam Toomer. And, you know, Reese was very prevalent about he doesn't care about the magnitude of the team. He cares about the people that are on the team. It's not the size that matters. It's being able to correlate and keep what you got. And let them know that they're special in each and every way, and you got to have their back 100%. And that's one thing I think I love about your management company is it's not quantity, it's quality. And that's what I see in you, Alex. You know, and you know, you had a couple rough bumps in the road, but now you're back on the trail to success. How does it feel for Alex McGowan knowing that he has seen that growth and he is continuing to grow? How do you better yourself each and every time? Who mentors you in that aspect?
It took me a while to finally let my guard down. Let Chris Harris and I, we go back well as friends well before we started training together. So with that being said, it was kind of hard to get him to mentor me on the fighting aspect of it because we always had that friendship, that barrier in between us, and not that coach relationship that we have now. Now, with that being said, I always look up to a couple fighters that you get the honor and privilege of getting to be around all the time. And I actually got to speak with him for the past couple of weekends in February. And that's James Krause. You know, anytime he's always speaking and about his life and his successes and his attitude towards fighting, I definitely pay attention to that because let's face it, you know, he's a brilliant businessman. He's doing very well for himself and he's a very cerebral fighter. So he's definitely somebody that I've looked up to, and every time that he spoke to me, I pay attention to what he says. And Chris is the exact same way. He's definitely one of those guys that I wish his gym was a lot closer, or I'd probably try to go there every single day if I could. On that aspect of it, you know, everyone's a mentor in me in life now. Beforehand, I kind of was walking around with a big head, but anybody who comes in my life, whether it's a negative or positive influence, they're a mentor to me and allow me to know what to not to do or what to do in my life.
I love that, bro. That's well put. You know, the funny thing about James Krause, bro, I can argue with him on the phone. I could communicate with him well through social media. But when I'm in the presence of James Krause, and Zach Cummings even said it, and so I didn't feel so bad in putting it out there, was that he's got this certain aura about him that you just almost feel like you can't ask him a question. It's almost like you're humble just to be standing next to the guy. It's kind of a trip because, you know, I've been there through his injuries. I've been there through many parts of his career, and You're correct. He's a tremendous attribute to the sport, and he's a brilliant businessman. You know, so how can you not walk away from knowledge from that? And then you look at Chris Harris. You know, he's a guy that I've epitomized ever since the first time I've seen him fight. You know, one of the favorite fights still to date for me is Bellator 150 with him and Julian. You know, so to be able to have that type of talent in the backing and the making of Alex McGowan, it's kind of got to be humbling. I can see why you look at them as mentors. You know, life is a trip, and the cage is even that much more difficult for fighters, and a lot of people don't understand that because they think, oh, wow, you're a team. But in reality, when that cage door locks, it's truly just you. So what fundamentals do your coaching and your training staff give Alex McGowan once that cage door closes?
Hey, James Krause said it best on one of his Instagram posts. He was talking about how his cornermen, he has three certain cornermen because he knows that they won't tell him to get in a certain position or do a certain thing that they haven't already been through. And after reading on that, it's definitely the way that I took approach of who I'm going to listen to at the gym, because if someone's not going to put themselves in a bad position or if they've never been in that position, how can I respect them to say, like, hey, you need to do this? So with that being said, you know, you said best with Chris being inside that war with Julian Marquez. He's been there. He's done that. So he's definitely one of my biggest attributes in showing who Alex McGowan / Mr. Hyde is every time that I get inside that cage and that cage door closes, because I know the things that he's telling me to do, he's been there. He's done that. So that puts a huge relief off of me of knowing, like, hey, you know what? He knows what he's talking about. He's going to get me through this. And together, even though I'm the one that's acting, it's together is the reason why I come out with the victory.
Amen. That's trust. That's truly trust. You know, we've seen Mr. Hyde come out 2 weeks ago. Now we're set to see Mr. Hyde come out again, you know, and my friend, your last few fights, you've demonstrated such growth and attributes in who you are as a fighter. You know, I can only see more growth as your, you know, career furthers on. When you look back right now and you look at all the obstacles you've had to overcome, you look at everything that you've gained in knowledge to this point, what would you say is the most humbling part of Alex McGowan's career that truly defined you into the person you are today?
Not quitting. You know, after the setbacks that I've had as a professional and also the injuries that I've had, you know, those were my ways out if I wanted to get out. I could have quit right then and there, especially after having an ACL reconstruction. I could have just said, screw it, I'm done with the sport. But instead, I'm still drawn back to it, and I know at the end of the day, everyone knows that I'm not going to quit. That I'll fight to my last breath. The ref's there to be able to stop the fight, but if the ref isn't there, I will fight until my very last breath, and everyone knows that I'm not going to quit. You're going to have to separate me from my conscience. And I know that is going to be one of the biggest things that everyone's going to take away from my career is that I gave it my all every single time I step foot in that cage. And I demonstrate my heart on my shoulders every single time.
You truly do. You know, one thing I like to do on my show is give an opportunity for certain fighters to let the sport know who you are. As my show is now on iHeartRadio and Univision, you know, so I've got a much broader base now. If you had to make a statement about either Alex McGowan or Hyde, what would that statement be in letting people know who you truly are and what you bring to the cage?
The statement is that 135ers, they better look out because I'm dangerous everywhere. If you leave your neck out, your arm exposed, I'm taking it home with me. No, I'm getting better and better striking every single day, and I feel like that if you leave a small opening with submission-wise, I will capitalize in and put a night into the night very quickly. And with that being said, I really feel like me going down to 135, I could very well be one of the most dangerous fighters on the planet because of that. I know I hit hard. I know I'm stronger than hell. I got quick submissions. My wrestling's getting better every single day. I'm getting more relaxed and relaxed every single time I fight. And a relaxed fighter is a dangerous fighter. And I'm just getting started, and I'm just having fun with it.
Oh, yeah, I love that. A relaxed fighter is a dangerous fighter because that is so true. You look at one of your counterparts and teammates that's correlated with your management company, you know, Christina Warhorse Williams. And, you know, I got hit by so many texts because I had interviewed her before she was even anybody, and I always get an interview with her, you know, since. And, you know, you look at her last fight and the ability that she ascertains, and that's the ability to stay calm and move forward. You know, that's the kind of growth that I see in you, Alex. I see you maturing right in front of my eyes, and I think it's a tremendous attribute. I think it's one of the main reasons why your management company felt it was right to sign you to a multi-fight deal, you know, because you only get to live once, and you're exerting yourself and your abilities unlike you have ever before in the past. What would you say was the key factor and where you're at now comparative to where you were a year ago?
Biggest key factor is listening to those around me, letting them in and letting them guide me. You know, beforehand, as I said earlier, I was walking around with a big head, making all decisions, not really listening to people. Now I listen to them. They're there for a reason. They're there to make the choices for me. They're there to put me to work. And with that being said, with listening to them, they're one of the biggest factors of my progression. And it's only going to get better with staying with an open mind, that I'm sick and tired of the whole selfish aspect of the sport. It is a selfish sport in a sense, but at the end of the day, it's your teammates and those around you, management company, the promotion, sponsors, you name it. It's all those combined in one, and listen to their guidance and listening to what they have to say, whether it's a negative or a positive aspect, is the only way to truly grow.
Yeah, I truly believe that. You know, the thing that amazes me is Victory sees it in you. I see it in you. Your management company sees it in you, and now you see it in you. If you had to make a statement, because it's not listed who you're fighting next, I don't know if you can, you know, allow that out on the air yet or not. I'll leave that up to you or your management company to decide. I don't want to get you in any trouble there. But if you had to make a statement about what people can expect in a few weeks from Alex McGowan and Victory Fighting Championships, what would it be?
Yeah, you know, I'll go ahead and say the guy. I'm fighting the guy from Lincoln, Nebraska. His name's Charlie DeBray. Overall, he has almost 60 fights combined, amateur and pro career in MMA and boxing alone. Me going out there and not just beating him but finishing him, a true veteran of the sport, someone with that much experience, that's a statement in itself. Whether if it's a highlight reel submission win or a knockout, it doesn't matter. I go out there, I finish him, and I do it impressively. That's the statement. That's going to put me in another prospect versus prospect fight, and that's where it's going to show that how dangerous I am by truly dominating a veteran of the sport.
And I think you will, you know. I've watched the growth of you, Alex. It's been tremendous. The rise up of Mr. Hyde is truly tremendous. You know, life is a trip, man, because we grow with each outing. We grow with each, you know, obstacle that gets thrown at us. And I've seen the growth and the potential of who you are as a warrior. You speak so profoundly of Chris Harris and James Krause. You know, I'm the same way with both of them. You know, the funny thing is, I wear a Chris Harris shirt to Glory MMA when I shoot. So it's if they don't say it, I don't know what else will, bro. But you know, I look forward to having you back on, bro. Once you get your next fight or right before your fight, if you want to do a pre-fight and a post-fight, I'm game for it, because I want to continue and bask in the success of Alex McGowan, because you truly are a champion in the making in my eyes, a man that deserves all the airtime that he can be given, because your passion for the sport is real. Your desire for the sport is meant to be, and it shows through, man. And I'm truly honored that you join my show each and every time, because it's a rarity that I get to just kick back and enjoy a show or an interview with somebody. Usually it's go, go, go. And tonight has just been a tremendous show for me. I've had three great warriors on, and you're all successful in your own right. You know, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, my friend. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, it was an honor to have you on. The floor is yours, my friend.
Hey, the honor is all mine. You know, a big name like yourself is believing in me. Truly, the honor is mine. I want to give a shout-out to all my friends and family, my management, my teammates, all my sponsors, those that believe in me. They're the reason why I keep going, because, as I've said before, it's all about proving your supporters right and your doubters wrong, and I will do everything in my power to prove them right every single time, and I'm going to do that again March 30th. And with that being said, man, you know, I'm game to be able to come back on your show. I love talking to you. It's always a privilege to be able to talk to you. So thanks, my man.
Hey, the honor is all mine, man. I like giving back to those who truly respect, admire, and appreciate the sport, that truly walk that walk in life. And you do that, you exemplify it to a T. Until the next time, my friend, it truly has been an honor. I wish you the best of luck in your next fight, but we'll get a pre-fight in there, and we'll share you with the world again thank you for joining the show, Alex. You have a tremendous evening, and thank you for just being who you are, bro.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. You have a good night, man. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Hyde, Alex McGowan. You hear it, you know, kind of stymied me for a minute, you know, when he talked about maybe the thought of kind of walking away from the sport. I think it would have been the most stupidest thing he's ever done in his life. If you've never seen this kid fight, I suggest you go look his fights up. He's a tremendous warrior. You know, he's got a great management company and TKO Sports Management. Reese is a tremendous attribute in my life, and I love sharing his fighters because they're real. Each and every guest I had on tonight was tremendous. You know, thank you to Tyler Diamond out of TAM in Sacramento. Thank you to Rome Lindsay, you know, coming on and sharing who he is in life and in his walk. You know, that's what this show's about. And then to be able to have Alex McGowan on, talking about maybe walking away, then coming back, then dropping to 135 and expressing, you know, his true intent and love for the sport. Man, that's why I do this show. That's what makes this show even relevant to me. I don't care if I've got one listener or the hundreds of thousands of listeners that we do. It doesn't matter to me. As long as I make a difference in somebody's life or I'm able to share somebody, then the job I'm doing is well done. Until next time, you know, I appreciate you for listening. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Bro, God bless you, and I hope everything goes well. You know, to the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie, much love, fam. All it is real. BuyMeMouthGuards.com, best mouthguards in the business. You know, recommended by Randy Couture and several other world champions. If you don't have a great mouthguard, go to BuyMeMouthGuards.com. Trust me, you'll get the first and the last mouthguard you ever want in your career. And I got a little tongue-tied there. But I'm entitled to it. I've been talking for an hour and a half. On that note, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We're going to a video format here shortly. It's going to be tremendous. I did a Q&A with Juan Archuleta last night. I love the aspect of it. We're going to take it there. Until next time, good night. God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Oh, yo, that's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth, he get ready kicking live.
Go! Whip for him, I get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded.
Great.
Clock struck 12, bank on Warner.
Bang.
Nice down with Stoney just for some stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then with the yacht, nigga. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Whole word of respect, all just a check. Nothing in the city where they breathe some of the best. Papa told me don't trust no more. Mama told me don't trust no hoe. Shorty switch sides, baby, that's a no-go. You start to find your balance, certain niggas gotta roll. Papa told me don't trust no more. Mama told me don't trust no hoe. Shorty switch sides, baby, that's a no-go.